This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I can't stand Joel Embiid. I can't stand him. I actually, like, from like an off the court, like, personality thing, I don't really have that much of a problem with Giannis. I think he's kind of corny sometimes, but like, when you look at like those two players next to each other and not liking their off the court antics, which is a comparison a lot of people make, I see on Twitter, I just can't stand Joel Embiid. I really can't stand his vibe. I can't stand how goofy he is. I can't stand his level of corniness, but like taking himself too seriously, it's too much for me. It's too much for me. And Claxton owns him, so that's all right.
Wait, I don't have a problem with Joel Embiid's personality or even the, you know, the DX chop as someone who grew up in the heyday of, you know, let's get ready to, you know, the rest of it. But as far as his on-court play, he might be my least favorite player to watch when you're factoring in his status in the league. It's disgusting at times. He's the biggest flopper I've ever seen for a big man. He may be the biggest flopper in the league, period. When you're talking about every time falling on the ground or flailing his arms, you're supposed to be the big, strong, modern-day kind of Shaq player, but he doesn't play like that at all. And it's one of the reasons that, you know, I don't trust him as much in big spots because, one, somebody's got to get him the ball. Two, you're not going to get those bailout calls all the time. And three, he's generally a little bit worn down by the postseason. But that's why, you know, I've called them the Philadelphia free throws. I've called him and Harden the free throw bros. Where credit where it's due, Harden hit a couple big shots in that game. Those threes were probably the difference. But when you combine Embiid and Harden, I don't know if there is a duo that is less aesthetically pleasing when it comes to their style of play.
Flopper, flopper, Embiid's a flopper, 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 Harden, flopper. As soon as the game started, I'm like, yo, they're fucking a game up. How many whistles right away? And, you know, that game took a long time. I said on the radio last night, I'm like, people always talk about the pace of play in baseball. That took as long as a baseball game. Because right away, these guys are trying to, you know, fall all over the place, draw flat fouls. I'm sure you guys saw Harden shoot that three with Steph on him and try and, like, kick out and fall. And it's just so corny. But you put those two together, it's super floppers, super flop bros. Anyway, there's so much to talk about today. And it's January 26th. It's crazy to think that 3 years ago we lost Kobe Bryant. And not just Kobe Bryant. Obviously, Gianna Bryant, John Altobelli, Carrie Altobelli, Alyssa Altobelli, Sarah Chester, Peyton Chester, Christina Moser and Ara Zobanian. And Kyrie put that out today on his Twitter. I appreciate him kind of like, you know, including everyone that was on that helicopter. I was just talking to, you know, Hudson and Robin about an episode we did. If you go way back to our YouTube, we didn't even know how to handle it. You know, if you're an NBA fan, if you're a basketball guy, I was always a Kobe fan. It was a rough day. It's still rough to think about, but rest in peace to all of them. And, you know, Kyrie obviously spoke on it last night, and the NBA world is remembering Kobe, and not even just the NBA world, all of the sports world. Last time we recorded, we were supposed to be getting an update on Kevin Durant's knee. The update is there is no update. He's progressing, and in 2 weeks, we'll get another update. He came out and said that he wished he could play tomorrow. And he also cited, you know, going back to Golden State, his former team. He missed that opportunity. LeBron is coming to town. He's going to miss an opportunity to play against LeBron. But we expect him to come back and play in the All-Star game. And speaking of the All-Star game, AD and Eddie gave the NBA the formula for what to do in this All-Star game on the Et Cetera podcast back in February of 2022. They had the conversation about how the NBA should go about like choosing the captains or, you know, choosing the teams. And now we've learned that the NBA will pick the teams or have the captains pick the teams right before the game. Do you guys care about this? You guys think? I think it's better. I'll start. I think it's better because it's like when you're, you know, when you're a kid and you're playing street basketball, it's like, all right, I got him. All right, I got him. All right, we'll take this dude over there in the blue shirts, blue shorts. All right, you over there in the, you know, in the white tee, come play. So I think it's like, it's, it adds a level to it. I thought it was cool that they had the little show, but like, what's the show really doing for us? I think going into that game with the suspense of like, we don't know what the teams are, and then they pick them and we can kind of react on Twitter and watch the, you know, process live. I think that's going to be cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad idea. Whatever they can do to continue to enhance the interest. I think you look at the TV ratings tricks, too. They're probably trying to extend the audience. How long can we keep the audience through from that point in time through the game? I love the NBA All-Star Game. Always have, always will. The show Steph put on last year, you know, was incredible. Any little thing they can do it to enhance the drama is good. And you're right. The pre-produced for TV segment was nice, but this will have probably more of an organic kind of energy because it will be happening live and right before tip.
Yeah. And obviously there's a certain like jokingness to Kevin Durant and Eddie's comments about like, oh, they took this idea from us. I would like there to be attribution if that's actually what happened, but I hope they do. I hope the NBA does take more ideas from the players, especially for something like the All-Star Game, All-Star Weekend, which is supposed to be a real celebration of the players, right? And so for me, I think the more that they can let the players like have a weekend where they can really be celebrated, really be honored, and really go out and show themselves and have fun, the better. I think you've seen over the last couple of years, All-Star Games across sports become a lot less interesting. People have talked about the dunk contest becoming less interesting. The NFL is switching up their Pro Bowl model. There's a lot of talk about that. And I think it's good that the NBA always seems to be on the cutting edge of letting the players lead in that manner and keeping things more interesting.
Yeah. And now, I mean, we might as well get right back into talking about this game. That's all this podcast is going to be about. And one game had so many storylines and themes and different things. And I feel like everybody was talking about that game last night. It was on ESPN. I actually listened to the ESPN broadcast and listened to Doris Burke call the game. It was on the TV and I just never switched to yes. Probably should have switched at some point because I'm always superstitious about like listening to our crew. Maybe I should have switched at halftime. Maybe we would have won, but it was a closer game than expected. Shout out to the Brooklyn Brigade, my guys, the Familia. Let's see if I can pull up something from my shared screen. So. No, I don't think I can. The Brooklyn Brigade are the reason why you hear Brooklyn down there in Philadelphia. I think they've made two or three trips down to Philadelphia with the BK Block Brooklyn Brigade people, which are the Nets super fans in Section 1. You may have seen me in the section. I don't get to as many games as I used to, but shout out to the gang. They're down there and they're representing us and they're not letting these goofy fans just have their way booing Ben Simmons and F Ben Simmons. They're there fighting some of that and it's good to have them there. We've heard KD acknowledge them. Shout out to the Brooklyn Brigade. I was in a chat with the Brooklyn Brigade. Someone got my phone number off Facebook and I literally texted a guy. I was like, where'd you get this number from? And he's like, your Facebook. And I'm like, I don't even go on Facebook anymore. I'm not thinking about that. So for the first time in a long time, I logged into Facebook and I took my number off and then I saw it all these messages. And I'm the type of person, like when I have all of this like notification clutter, it like freaks me out. I try and clear it. So I go into the Brooklyn Brigade chat and I leave the group because the chat is about like exchanging tickets. And I'm like, well, I don't really need tickets anymore. I've only been to three games this year and I'm credentialed now. And shout out to, I think Migs sent into another group chat we have. A screenshot. They were like, why'd Keith leave? Does Keith hate us? Something like that. I'm like, nah, not at all. I just like don't need to be in a chat about like, hey, who's got a ticket for the Pistons game tonight? Who's got a ticket for the Knicks game tonight? But back to the Philadelphia game. I'm glad they were there. The Nets faced the Sixers in Philly. And obviously there's the James Harden element. Obviously there's the Ben Simmons element. Seth Curry going back there facing off against Doc Rivers, his father-in-law, Joel Embiid, Troll Embiid. And I don't know, it just makes for a good rivalry. And the NBA has labeled this week as rivalry week. Philadelphia is hot right now. The Sixers have won six in a row, I believe. They went out west, and they won all those games. They're healthy, and I don't know what else to say about them besides the fact that they're rolling. And for the Nets to have knocked them off last night, it would have been big. The fact that it was even tied, what was it, 101, 102 or something like that? No, 120, 120 at one point. The fact that it was even tied at that point has to make you feel better about the Nets, right? When this West Coast trip that we just took started, everybody was saying it's the same thing. It's deja vu. Same old Nets, right? KD goes down. These guys are going to lose 11 in a row again. But they were telling us it's different. It's not the same. It's different. It's not the same. And then they showed it by beating Utah. They showed it by beating the Warriors. And they showed it last night by going toe-to-toe with a fully healthy team that may have the MVP in Joel Embiid and may, you know, and does have a former MVP in James Harden. Has a championship coach and may have a team that can contend for a championship this year. We did all of that without the best player in the world, the best player on our team, Kevin Durant. And before I pass it to you guys,